it's like a movie, and that the scenes, some of the scenes in it, is not coming out the way that you want it to come out. But God said that He is the producer and the director, and it will come out according to His will. And the Lord said to just to tell you to say, as Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And He's going to give you a new song to sing. A song of joy, that your spirit will rejoice in the Lord, and your soul will magnify the Lord as you've never done it before. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
And I would like for you to turn with me tonight into the 92nd Psalm. And we will begin at verse... You see, you've got to be careful where you start, because if you start too early, you will never get down to where you would like to go. Glory. But if you will, we'll begin in verse 10.
"But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn."
Praise the Lord.
"I shall
do
be..."
You will, just a minute. We want to talk a little on that one. First of all, listen the way that it started off.
"But my horn."
How many of you can say "my horn"?
Hallelujah.
Come on, my horn. He is going to exalt. And to exalt simply means He's going to lift up. And it's going to be like the horn of a unicorn.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And then listen to what else He said.
"I shall be anointed with fresh oil."
I shall be anointed
with fresh oil.
With fresh oil.
Hallelujah.
There is a fresh anointing coming that you have never had. It's never been before. God is just in the very moment, He's going to anoint everyone that is open for the moving of the Holy Spirit with fresh oil. Fresh oil! Hallelujah! And whenever I'm talking about fresh oil, I'm talking about the oil of the holy anointing oil that was mixed up. And the only ones that could be put on was the priest. And the next verse said, down in the verse 31 of the 22nd chapter of Exodus, He said that it was not to be put upon man's flesh.
Yes.
So you're going to have to get rid of flesh to get this fresh anointing. Hallelujah. And when I say get rid of flesh, I'm talking about getting rid of your soulish attitude, your mentality, and your thinking. Because the majority of people in this hour, they only think in the natural, in the mentality of the flesh. Well, God was desiring you, if you have been risen with Christ, and I talked, I think it was last night, on the out resurrection. And if you have been risen with Christ, set your affections on things above. Well, glory to God. And quit thinking about things that's on this earth. Well, how can I do that? You have to be partakers of the out resurrection that lifts you out from among the dead while yet in the body. Well, somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, tear it out of your Bible. It's in the Amplified, chapter 3 of Philippians, hallelujah, and verse 11. If you don't want to turn to it, just write it down in your notes, and you can read it when you get home. But God is doing a fresh anointing upon people that's partakers of this out resurrection. And He's bringing you out of the flesh with this anointing. He's setting you upon the throne. Well, let's go back to the 92nd Psalm just a minute. Listen to what else he said.
Mine eye also shall see my desire on my enemies.
My eyes, oh glory to God. Now how many of you can understand you're going to have to change the way you are seeing? Oh glory to God. And not only that, you're going to have to change the way you desire what you see. We're living in a day that there's such a thing as unannounced advertising. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying or not, but how many of you have ever been watching television? Have you been or going to a movie? And they don't mention Coca-Cola, but they've got a sign up on the wall, Coca-Cola. You know what they're doing? They're advertising without even saying a word. And there is so much of that going on in this hour, you need to get your eyes singled, sanctified, set apart, that you will not be attracted to what you see. And you need your eyes to be single. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that your eyes must be singled. And then, if I don't want to get detoured too much on this, but a dove is the only bird that has a single eyesight. Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that is because it's a type of the Spirit. That's because when Noah sent the dove out, it wouldn't land on anything because everything was dead. And if the Spirit of God will not light upon anything dead, what are you doing in a dead church? But Noah reached his hand out and brought the dove back in. And then after 7 more days, sent it out again. And this time it come back with an olive leaf in its mouth. That is a signal that judgment is lifting off of the earth and peace is come again. And in the River Jordan, when John was baptizing Jesus, that dove come out of heaven, lit upon his shoulder, and the Bible said, remained on him. The first individual that had a Holy Spirit remaining on him. It come upon prophets in the Old Testament, but only momentarily, and then it would leave. But when it come on Jesus, it remained on him. He was the first example of anyone receiving the Holy Spirit and it remaining in him. Thank God you can have the Holy Spirit not temporarily, but in a permanency, in a eternal self-existent. Oh, hallelujah. But you have to have that anointing with fresh oil. Well, glory to God. And if you get the fresh oil anointing, You're going to begin to see in the singleness and see directly as the Lord is directing you. Well, praise God. Now, listen to the benefits of this fresh oil.
Mine ears shall hear the desire of the wicked that rise up against me.
My ears did, well, your eyesight is going to see your desire. Your ears are going to hear your desire, and you're going to see what you desire worked out on your enemies. So be sure that your eye is single. Be sure you're hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now, listen on now.
The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree.
I like that now. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Well, you're going to let me break down this palm tree? In the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus, you find that Israel came to the waters of Marah. And the Bible said they could not drink of the water because it was bitter. Then over in that verse, I think it's about what, verse 22 or 20, something like that. 22? Huh? 23. Well, I was one short. Yeah, 15.
And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter.
And every time you get bitter water, you're going to murmur, you're going to complain, you're going to find fault, because everything ain't just like you want it. And it's because you don't have the cross in your life. Uh-oh. Did you hear what I said? If you're grumbling, if you're complaining, if you're finding fault, it's because the cross has not been applied to your life. When the waters were bitter, Moses, they come and complained against Moses. Every time a church member gets in trouble, they want to come and complain to the pastor.
Amen.
Will somebody be big enough to say, amen, I'm preaching the truth to you. And when you come to the pastor and complain, you know what they'll say, majority of them? Bless your heart, darling. You're just too good to have to go through with that. Nonsense. God's trying to work a character in you. God's trying to develop something in you, get you out of that babyhood.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you'll never get children to be able to stand anything unless they go through something.
Amen.
And you won't never be worth your salt if you don't go through something.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if you can't stand the pressure, get out of the kitchen. Oh, hallelujah. Brother, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, the devil don't either. Are you kin to him? Praise the Lord. Well, so God told him to cut a tree down and cast it into the water. That tree represents the cross. You get the cross in your life, and your water will be sweetened.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And you'll have some sweet water to drink if you get the cross in your life. Oh, hallelujah. I'm a believer in the cross. The Apostle Paul settled the argument in the Antioch church in the first or second chapter of the book of he said, I'm crucified with Christ. It's not Second Corinthians, it's over in the other book of second chapter. But anyway, he said, I am crucified. Now, that settled the argument. People had come down from Jerusalem, and Peter had withdrew himself from eating with the Gentiles. He was over there eating, omelets, ham and eggs. And when they come down from Jerusalem, he withdrew and went over there to the Jews and wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. And it was such a turmoil that even Barnabas was turning aside. And the Apostle Paul had to deal with all that contention. Neighbor, I'm here to tell you, if you get the cross of Jesus in your life, it'll settle the church arguments. It'll settle the disputation. It'll sweeten your waters up that you can drink them.
Galatians.
Well, hallelujah. I tell you, saints, I believe it's time that you and I began to realize the cross is still effective in your life.
Yeah.
You've got to have it.
Yes.
Well, anyway, the cross was put in the water. It sweetened the water up. Then they could drink it. And whenever you get your bitterness straightened out in you, God can send you somewhere else. But you're as far in God as you'll ever get as long as you're complaining. As long as you're finding fault. You know where you're as far as you'll ever get. But if you get your water sweetened with the cross, you can leave the waters to Moriah and go down to Elam. Well, that's what your Bible says. And when you get to Elam, what do you find?
12 wells.
12 wells of water. 12 wells of water. A well for every month of the year. And you don't have to drink from the same well. Get a fresh well every month. 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees, and there's 365 usable parts of every palm tree. You don't understand what he's saying. You get a fresh well of water every month and a fresh benefit every day for 70 years. And then if you run over 70, you can get a 15-year extension. And if you run out of that extension, you can get another one.
Hallelujah.
You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it ain't going to work for you then. It only works for them to believe and accept it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you desiring to have this fresh well of water every month and a fresh benefit every day? for 70 years and then get a 15-year extension. That'll bring you up to 85. Then get you another extension, and that'll bring you up to 100. And Moses was 120, and his strength wasn't debated. Now the eyesight weakened. Glory to God. I'm here to tell you, God has made this old body, hallelujah, to heal itself and to rejuvenize itself if you will learn how to take care of it. Hallelujah. And learn how, well, I better get off of that. Learn what you're supposed to eat and what you're not supposed to eat. Well, what I eat ain't got nothing to do with my salvation. Amen. But it's got a lot to do with your health. So you can do whatever you want to do. You're going to do it anyway. We can have service at 7:30, but you'll come dragging in at 8. Sunday school started 10 o'clock. You come in 10:30. That's how much you love God. You love your job more than you love God. You ain't late to go to work. Uh-oh. Preacher, you a meddling. That's right. You're right. But somebody's got to remind you that you have to be faithful.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God wants faithfulness. And God's demanding faithfulness. Oh. If you want to flourish like a palm tree, and neighbor, I'm telling you, that means you get a fresh well of water every day, and you benefit from God every day. And that's ought to make you shout all the time. Unless you're murmuring and complaining. And that's because the cross is not applied in your life. Oh, glory. There's nobody in the house tonight that complains. Nobody in the house tonight that grumbles. We are all sanctified. Glory. Well, the Lord hasn't dealt with me on sanctification yet. He don't have to. He tells you, sanctify yourself. And if you're too lazy to sanctify yourself, go ahead and live like the devil. Well, Brother McCurry, that's terrible preaching. Amen. But you're going to have that anointing with fresh oil if you're going to come into the benefits of God. That fresh oil, it's got to be poured upon you. Hallelujah. 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 I believe we need to be down into Elam. I believe God wants us to go down there and enjoy 12 wells of water.
Hallelujah.
And a fresh benefit every day. Well, glory to God. I believe that. I can't wait. Every morning when I wake up, I just praise God. I thank God for another day. And I'm overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Well, hallelujah. And some people, my wife, she don't like breakfast. She don't eat breakfast. But I was raised, on the farm and the poor. You know, we were very poor, but we were very rich also. But my daddy taught us, you don't never go start a journey on an empty tank. You're going to start a journey, fill up your tank. And when I was a boy and we used to snake logs out of the mountain with oxen, you'd be glad if you had a full tank. You couldn't hardly wait for them to ring the dinner bell to get home to replenish and fill up again. Then at the end of the day, you couldn't hardly wait to get to the barn, rub the knees of them old oxen and turpentine, doctor them up, hallelujah, fill the pen full of corn and give them some fodder. Oh, you don't know what fodder is, but oh, hallelujah. You have me, do you know what fodder is? Well, you see, they don't do that now much. We used to pull the leaves off of the corn and wrap it up, put it up on the corn stalk, and then we'd feed the animals in the wintertime with that fodder and mix it with grain, you know. Well, for the young folks, you're learning something. Well, glory to God. But you see, God is desiring to raise, and He is bringing forth a generation in this hour that's going to understand you can't grumble and complain, but you're going to come down into a fresh anointing, hallelujah, and you get benefits every day and a fresh well of water every month. Now, if that don't make you shout, your shouter's stuck.
Hallelujah.
He said that you would flourish like a palm tree. Now listen to what else he said.
He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
Gracious. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. How many of you understand? What he's doing is building a house, building a temple. Ye are the temple of the Lord. This cedar in Lebanon, it's a type of what God is doing in this hour. That's where they got the cedar to build the temple that Solomon built. They would go there and get the timber on the mountain, and then they would shoot it down to the Sea of Galilee, and it would float. Well, there's something else they did. They had tied these logs together with ropes. I don't know whether you realize what he's doing or not, but he's knitting you together, holding you in your place to bring you down so you can fit into the temple and become the temple of God. Well, hallelujah. And neighbor, that is exactly what the Holy Spirit's doing right now. You're not in this building by chance. God has brought you here. God has led you here. Oh, you said, well, I didn't feel nothing leading me. I just come because I wanted to come. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. There was something in your spirit that urged you to come, hallelujah, and to take the time to sit here and hear the Word of God. Hallelujah. And because of you doing that, you're going to be rewarded in the spirit realm. Well, praise God. Well, there's no benefit in it for me. Oh, yes, there is. You don't understand. Every time you hear Spirit of God, the Word of God in the Spirit. Well, if I break it down, you say, well, I'm serving Jesus. Well, Jesus was the Word made flesh, according to the book of John. Then Christ is the anointing. So Jesus, the Word made flesh, won't do you no good unless it's anointed with the Christ. You come over to the Apostle Paul's writing, he doesn't say use the word Jesus Christ, but very few times. He always says Christ Jesus. Why did he do that? Because he said the anointed word instead of the word anointed. Preachers are praying today, Lord, anoint your word, instead of letting God anoint them to bring forth the anointed word. To me, it's so simple. If you want to hear anointed word, get somebody anointed to read the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then you won't hear some burnout preacher. I've never understood ministers that say, well, I'm just burnt out. Well, God don't talk to you no more. God only speaks through a burning bush. If you ain't on fire for God, He ain't going to speak to you. Oh, how many of you are hearing what I'm saying? You get the anointing and God will speak to you. He may not tell you what you want to hear. But believe me, when God speaks, He's going to tell you to do something you may not want to do. I've counseled with a lot of folks, and they'll say, well, God ain't never told me to do anything that I didn't want to do. And I'd say, honey, God ain't never spoke to you. God never tells you to do something you want to do. God never tells you to do something you can do. He always tells you to do something you can't do. Oh, don't get afraid. I'm not going to take up no offering, but yet. How many of you understand what I just said? God never tells you to do something you can do. He always tells you to do something you can't do. But if you try, you do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do you think those servants felt when they poured that or got that water out of the jugs that they had filled up with water and took that to the governor of the feast, knowing they put water in there, knowing that it didn't have time to ferment, and they had taken that water they had poured in there to the governor of the feast? How do you think they felt? Their life is on the line. Oh, I understand now. I was called to the Queen of Uganda with Brother Arthur Dodds-White and Brother Paul Stutzman. And we sat there with the Queen now. And I'm not talking about somebody with a bone in their nose or something. I'm talking about a delicate queen, a beautiful lady. And she said, I called you, brother, in here to lay hands on me for the Holy Ghost. We was in a glass room, and the guards was walking up and down out there with a gun, and it was loaded. And she wanted us to lay hands on the queen. If that wasn't frightening enough,
I was looking, bud. No, I know. I was afraid. But I lay hands on the queen. Did you know what? She fell out. Good God, there's the queen on the floor. If them men, if them guards had looked in there and saw that, they wouldn't have asked no questions. They would have shot through that glass. Somebody said, what was you doing? Well, I wasn't talking in tongues. Brother, I was shivering. Laying there talking in the beautifulest language you ever heard. Oh, hallelujah. And I was thrilled and I could have shouted when she got up. Praise God. But you see, you don't understand. God has a purpose in everything He does. She got up, sat down in her chair, and looked at me and said, what are you doing here? She said, I know I invited you, but what are you doing in our country? I said, well, we've been looking for some property for Brother Dodd's wife. What do you want with it? I said, build church, build a Bible school. She said, I'll give you 2 acres right here on the thoroughfare. A thoroughfare running from the palace down to the parliamentary building where they make all the rules and regulations. Glory to God. Brother Dodd's wife was just almost jumping up and down. He's gone to glory now, but there's a big church, seat 2,000, Bible school, everything on that property. I'm tell you something right now. God has the answer for your problem, providing you'll get anointed with fresh oil. God, oh hallelujah. God has laid on my heart to do a lot of things that was impossible with man. And I've told Him, God, this is impossible with me. I know that, son. But all things are possible with me. Praise God. I believe God is raising up a generation that's going to have reckless faith. What do you mean, reckless faith? Do you remember when Jesus said salt is good, but if it's lost its savior, it's good for nothing, only be trodden under the feet of men? How many of you remember reading that? Have you ever looked it up and see what the Greek said salt was? And every last one of you has lost the savior of salt. It simply says salt is foolishness. And you used to be, when you first got saved, you were foolish. You didn't care who heard you shout. You didn't care who you talked to, and you didn't care. You were so thrilled that you really act foolish. And you didn't care who saw you shout. And you didn't care how you shouted. But after a while, you got sophisticated. And you got polite. You didn't want to do nothing foolish. You wanted to act civilized. Sophisticated. I used to travel with an old apostle or prophet, and every time we'd go into a conference, you could see the countenance of folks fall. This old prophet, brother, he had a voice like a trumpet. And he'd holler out. And when he stood up and prophesied, brother, it wasn't the Lord bless thee. He was telling it like it was. And people, they hated us. I remember we were down in Louisiana one time. Miracles. Brother David Schock was the night speaker. And we went down into that meeting. And he hollered out a prophecy one night. And we was isolated for the rest of the week. There wasn't nobody come around us. But we went right in that church, sat on the front row just the same, hallelujah, as we was the main speaker. God, give us some more foolishness. My God, hallelujah. How many of you want to get foolish once in a while? Well, glory to God. How many of you really want to get foolish once in a while? Well, what's hindering you right now? Why don't you get up and shout? Why don't you get up and do something foolish? Just get your feet. And just get up and do something you wouldn't ordinarily do. Well, glory to God. Sister, stand up a minute. You, that's right. I want you to run back there for me. Run! Just run. Just run back there and come on back. Oh, glory to God. Now, because you obeyed the servant of the Lord, God is going to do a real miracle in your home. Praise. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And if you want something from God, do something foolish. Create a... My Father. Hallelujah. 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 Now, let's see if we can finish this song. Yeah. Before you do that, let me tell you something. David in the 18th Psalm said, this is my song. Yeah. This is my song. Glory to God. He is my deliverer. Yeah. This is my song. If you want to sing that kind of a song, all you have to do is claim that psalm. You see, Moses said, let God arise and his enemies will be scattered. Moses said that. Then David wrote a psalm and said, me too. He said the same thing. You got to learn, glory to God, to say me too. I agree with that. That's my song. Hallelujah. But instead of that, you want to say, oh, hell, I just ain't got nothing. I don't know what I'm going to do. And every time you say that, Jesus turns to the Father and says, Father, they don't know what they're going to do. Well, that's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. He is the high priest of your profession or confession.
Come on. You got to be careful how you talk. You're talking yourself right down into the dumps. Or you can talk yourself into the heavenlies. I just tell you the truth. I ain't hanging around people that's always grooming me and down in the house, complaining and mumbling. I ain't fooling with you. You want me to associate with you? Smile. Be happy. Be glad. Woo, hallelujah. 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 And I'll guarantee you, you can collect more honeybees with sugar than you can with salt. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember when I was over in Africa at the foot of the mountain of the moon, up above Lake Victoria. It had come a downpour of rain, and we was in a big old tabernacle thatched roof, you know, and it had no electricity or no lights or nothing. Well, you know, just torch or something like that. And Brother Alexander, he got saved in Brother T.L. Osborne's meeting. And the reason why he got, I never knew this until I talked with Osborne's daughter. She is a bishop too, you know. And she asked me, said, "Do you know how Brother Alexander got saved?" I said, "No." He never told me. I never asked him. Said, "Well, he come to my daddy's meeting with a shotgun under his coat and was going to shoot my daddy. And Brother Osborne pointed him out and said, 'If you get rid of that gun, God will do something for you.'" And God gloriously saved him. Filled him with the Holy Ghost. Called him to preach. And he moved from the Congo over to Zaire. And built a huge church. And every time there was an uprising in that country, president would call Brother Alexander and tell him, "Go over there and hold a revival." And when he did, quieten all the right down. Hallelujah. And he was called on every time there was an uprising. And God quietened it down. God's anointed. Well, we was in this meeting together. And we were going around praying for folks. He was praying in Swahili, and I was praying in broken English. You know, at that time I was from Florida, I think is where I was, but anyway. And we were going around praying, and there was a little girl, about, I guess, 10 or 12 years old. Just wasn't nothing but skin wrapped around bones. So twisted. You know, I can't describe the condition she was in. But we went around and we said to that little girl, I said in here, broken English, "Be healed, be made whole in the name of Jesus." He prayed in Swahili. He was saying the same thing. And you could actually hear the bones
cracking and straightening out. She stood upon her feet. And when she did, everybody fell on their face, and that there were thousands of folks there. And it was muddy now. And I saw one young man, Holy Spirit was dealing with him, and I went over there to pray for him. And I knelt down in the mud. He turned his eyes toward me and he says, "Keep telling my people." I mean, couldn't speak a word of English. He's talking in tongues. Tongues to him, prophecy to me. "Keep telling my people I'm able, for this is why I sent you here. Keep telling my people that I am able, for I am the Lord Jehovah that maketh you whole." God descended in that little African brother. Talk to me face to face. Don't you come to me and tell me that this is not real, brother. Let me tell you, you can make me doubt my name is not McCurry, but you'll never make me doubt, hey man, that I don't know God. I know God, hallelujah. And He knows me, and I know His name, hallelujah. And if I keep His name, He said, I'll honor you with long life, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you get anointed with fresh oil, you're in for the benefits of all heaven. Praise our God forever. Oh, Kashita Manda Yanda Mokoriasa. All right, listen to what else he said in the 92nd Psalm.
Those that be planted in the house of the Lord.
Now you've got to realize you've got to be planted in the house of the Lord. You're not a church hopper. You're not a gadabout. Jeremiah talks about gadabouts. He said, don't pray for them. Don't pray for their good. You just ignore them. They don't want to be settled. They don't want to be under nobody. They don't want to be responsible to give tithes and offerings. They're freeloaders. Anywhere they can go to get a meal, they want to get it. No responsibility. Uh-oh. But you've got to have a planting of the Lord. He's got to set you. And brother, when God sets you, you don't pull up roots and go somewhere else just because you want to. How many of you understand that we are living in a wandering world today? Church growth is upon other church members, not upon conversion. God wants to give you a growth in your church, but He wants you to get people converted. Get them saved by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And allow Him. Oh. I remember one time a brother come to my church with his family in Sarasota, Florida. He said to me, he said, "Here, I want to give you my tithes." I said, "Brother, I thought you was a member of the church down the road." "I was, but I left. Here, I want you to take my tithes." I said, "You take these tithes and you go back to that church. You apologize to that pastor because I'm not having your money." "You mean you won't take my money?" I said, "No, I won't, because I'm no thief. Tithes belong to the church you're a member of." Well, praise the Lord. I have sent big checks back to people. Because they send me tithes, whether you're a member of another church. I'm no thief. I won't take tithes from another church. Okay. Let's read some more.
Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
Amen. How many of you know you can flourish? I'm talking about the blessings of God being on you. Hallelujah. How many of you want to live in an unlimited life? I'm talking about no limit on your life whatsoever. You don't have any limits. Oh, glory to God. Well, Brother McCurry, I just don't believe that'll work. Try it. Try it.
Hallelujah.
I've challenged people all over the world. I've challenged them. You tried. Give to God. He don't reward you. Call me. I'll give it back to you. I'm not fooling with you. I know God is God.
Amen.
I trust God. Well, read some more.
They shall bring forth fruit in old age.
You like that?
Yeah.
They shall bring forth fruit in old age. Well, I don't know about that. Well, what about Abraham and Sarah? Sarah, 100-year-old, brought forth Isaac. Of course, now, I know what the book said. The book said, let the young women that's married bear children, because he knows we old folks ain't got enough patience to fool with us. God's a good God. He blessed us with grandchildren.
Yeah.
We can love them and spoil them and send them home.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, brother.
Well, praise God.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
How many of you know that that's true?
Yes.
All right.
They shall be fat and flourishing.
Going to be fat and flourish and flourish. Oh, God. Thank God for... I started to say something. I said, thank God for... What do you call it? Slim... Huh? Slim Fast. That's good.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, we are not in no commercializing deal here, but I'm telling you, I'm enjoying what I'm just shouting inside. Holy Spirit just leaping up and down in here, and I'm having me a time. If you're not having a good time, whoo, I'll pause and let you go. I tell you, God is a good God.
Yes, He is.
Hallelujah. And He's so good that He will correct you.
Yes, He
will. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want you to look at something here now. Praise the name of the Lord. Listen to what else he said.
To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Well, glory to God. And all of this comes about with one reason. And that is having yourself anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Now, if you turn over back over there to the book of Exodus,
you can find where he said that this oil you have to have, what is it, 22:30? Huh? 22.
Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices.
Now you've got to have principal spices. See, some folks don't want a fresh anointing because they're not going to take the precious stuff, the principal stuff. You see, God is particular with what you give Him. Well, principal spices. Then He said 500 shekels of myrrh. Now, that they use that for embalming fluid also. Come on. And some of you haven't got enough of that anointing to even deaden your feelings. And you don't have enough of it. Oh, I better not say that. To deaden your sexual desires. Hello. Sex and money and power are the three dangerous items in the church realm. And it's because you don't have enough of Mara. Well, look at Esther. Thank God she was anointed 6 months in it. The bitterness. And then she was anointed 6 months in the sweet smelling spices. I want you to know something. God has brought you in the kingdom for such an hour as this. And He certainly is not intending for you to run wild with your desires and the lust of your flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how can I do that? Well, the very minute that you deviate from the Word of God, you're in the flesh. Jesus said that in John 6 and 53 or 63. The word that I speak unto you, they are life, they are spirit, and they are life. Hallelujah. Do you want life? Stay in the Word. If you want death, deviate from the Word. Well, praise God. I'm here to tell you this fresh oil, God is not going to put it upon flesh. You've got that. Well, hallelujah. Now, if you'll turn, I'm going to unplug here. I'll never get through, no way. I never get through with a subject. But in the first book of Corinthians, you people in England say Corinthians 1. See, I know. I've been around. Chapter 6 and I want you to look at the last 2 verses.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Oh, wait just a minute now. Your body is a temple for what?
The Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost! Hallelujah. All right, if you're a temple for the Holy Ghost to live in, what are you supposed to do? Read.
Which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own.
Read on that.
For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
How many of you know what he left out? He didn't mention no soul there, did he? Do you know why? The Holy Spirit has completely conquered your desires, your thought patterns, your emotions. And he's telling you, glorify God in your body and in the spirit. Because the spirit has completely dominated the soulish realm that's in you. And now, oh glory to God, now you're a candidate, amen, for that fresh oil, and you're a candidate for all of these benefits that come with your anointing with fresh oil.
Hallelujah.
Because you have the Holy Ghost in your body. Are you understanding what I'm saying? How many of you got the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Well, how many of you have the Holy Ghost got you?
Hallelujah.
Come on, how many of you have allowed the Holy Ghost to have you?
Yes.
Well, a few of you have raised your hand. How many of you understand the difference? You can have the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ghost can have you. See, preachers are preaching things that they don't really know anything about. On the day of Pentecost, they say the church was born. Well, that's crazy. Read Acts chapter 7, and Stephen tells you right plain, the church was in the wilderness. Church wasn't born on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost took it out of the man's hand, but man won't turn it loose. Man still wants to run it. Man wants to do everything in it, set the rules and regulations. The Holy Ghost ain't got nothing to do with it. Well, how many of us want the Spirit of God to be in control of this body and dwell in it? Hallelujah. And then we can say, the Holy Ghost has me. Glory to God. He's in control of me. I don't have the Holy Ghost. It's got me. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 And with the Holy Ghost that's got a hold of you and filled you up, praise God, you are not going to be bitter. You're not going to complain. You're not going to find fault. You're going to rejoice, you're going to shout, you're going to praise God, you're going to be on time at the house of God, you're going to learn, amen, that nothing is yours, everything's His. And you are just enjoying what God has given you. Praise God. That's exactly the way I celebrated my 60th year of ministry, 27th of January. And I told the people then, I said, I'm looking for 40 more years. Well, glory to God. I won't be but 118. Moses lived 120 and his strength wasn't debated, his eyes wasn't dim. So God's going to have to renew my sight and strengthen this old body. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. And I see some of you are pushing up the age bracket a little bit. But don't be discouraged. God is still on the throne. And I'm going to dance again. I'm going to shout again. Hallelujah. I'm going to be back in England again. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. God is a great God. If you could just get your little peanut brain to begin to realize, oh, hallelujah, how great God is and how little we are. How many times have I walked down on the beaches, pick up one little grain of sand, and I'd say, God, this is me, and all of this rest of it is you. I don't understand how you can single me out when I drop that grain. I don't know how you can distinguish me from the rest of it, but I want to thank you for doing it. Somebody said, well, that's putting yourself very small. Honey, I can't explain how small and little that I feel in His eyes. I can't tell you that. And yet, God fills the whole universe, and yet He's so small, He moves in here. I tell you the truth. You and I had better get our minds renewed and begin to realize how big and great God really is. God's bigger than your failures. God's bigger than your bank account. God thinks bigger than you do. Well, glory to God. Over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, He tells you, my thoughts is not your thoughts. Hello? You can't even think big enough for God. And then He said, my ways are not your ways. Ooh, hallelujah. I tell you, God is raising up a generation and He's enlarging our thought pattern. He's enlarging. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Everything about you, He wants you to be bigger. Well, glory. How much money we like, brother, for the budget? For what? 2,000? 200 pounds. My God. That ain't no money. Well, glory to God.